Welcome to the Teen Life Podcast, where we explore your questions to help you make meaningful connections with teenagers, because no teen deserves to feel alone. Have a question you'd like us to address? Email us at podcast@teenlife.ngo. Now, let's jump into this week's question.
Why do teens seem so entitled, and what actually helps them appreciate what they have? I don't know if this is a new problem. I'm not old enough to know. I think teens and just people in general maybe have just always been entitled, but it's funny kind of getting older and being on this side of things and no longer being the entitled teen. But kind of as I was thinking about this, just what examples do you guys have of teens or maybe even your kids being entitled? If you want to air the laundry.
I mean, I think one of the biggest ones is maybe complaining about dinner if it's not their favorite. Caleb, you never did that. never. Or
still do this.
Expecting certain things. They expect gifts at their birthday. They expect a certain amount of money. They expect, if I break this, mom and dad are just going to buy me a new one. Mm-hmm. Like, that doesn't, who cares about my stuff? I also have seen this, I think, in like a high school setting around it, they expect a new phone, the newest phone, or a new pair of shoes because everyone else has them.
Yeah.
If my friend has it, then I should also. A new iPhone came out. I'm getting it. And don't think through who's getting that for you. How are you paying for that? Like some of those questions maybe don't always come up. Or hey, someone made that dinner, and maybe we should be appreciative. speaking to my son.
Yeah.
Of the time that was taken instead of just being like, man, this might not be my favorite, but thank you for what you did.
I, to this day, as a 26-year-old adult man, still remember, it was like maybe my like 10th birthday party, and we're like all in the back room of some restaurant, and you know, my friends are there, and you know, some parents are there, and I get like a gift, and it's from like sweet family friends who are just like the kindest people ever. It's a video game. I open it, and I go, oh, I already have this one. And like, I toss it to the side, and mom was like, Caleb, like I got lectured as deserved, but it still sticks with me because I'm like, that is, I was like, oh my goodness, that's crazy that I did that. But it's just, it was like, I already have this game. Like, it's such a, not even a second thought of saying it. It just came out. And yeah, I am guilty of anytime a meal, I would ask my mom before breakfast what was for dinner. It would either make or break my day. I would be complaining from breakfast. So I get it.
So now that you're in town just visiting family, did you already ask your mom to like set up your favorite meals since you're here?
She knows.
Yeah, she knows. She's like, yeah.
she knows.
Yeah. Slim chickens. Yeah. We'll be hitting all the spots.
I think as a parent of a newly driving teen and a 16-year-old, the biggest thing for us lately was, where's my gas money coming from? And I'm like, great question, buddy. Like,
get a job, my guy.
Yeah. And so, you know, I think this is a balance that I play as a parent is I grew up in a situation where I had to like work from basically 14 on. And there was a stretch where I had like, and I'm saying this lovingly. So if my mother's listening, this is not a bad thing, but I had to help pay bills sometimes as a 16, 17-year-old, because that's just the stage of life I was in. So like you know, with my kid, like I want him to like learn the work ethic that I had to learn. Like it wasn't an option. Like if I didn't work, I wasn't going to drive or have a car or whatever. But I also don't want him to have to like stress about that, you know? And so it's that balance that you play of, but he does have like a, well, I was telling some people the other day that we were in the car driving somewhere and I was like, I think it's time for you to like, you know, get a job. And even if you're just working a couple of days a week to help pay for your social life, that seems to be growing rapidly since now you can drive yourself. And he started the response with, you don't understand what it's like to be in band and have to work and do AP classes. And I was like, you literally just explained my whole high school scenario. Like I had a job, I was in band, I was better than you in band, and I was in AP classes. Like, so when I say better, I was practicing more than he does. So it's, you know, but in that moment, he kind of realized as he was saying it, and he could see my face turning.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, wait, you do understand this. So it's even like my child, who's a great kid, has some of that entitlement of where is this stuff coming from? And so, I mean, we're by no means well off, but like, it's just like, and he has to kind of learn like, yeah, like things don't just happen. Like, and so I think even as a teenager, they just have to remind them. Like, and so I think learning that this is your first step into real life of you now have quasi bills to pay for and gas money and stuff like that. So
when I think just our culture in general is very much this comfort culture. Mm-hmm. Think about Amazon. If my package does not come to my door in the 2 days it was promised, is like the most upsetting thing in the world. Or I get my groceries delivered. We have DoorDash that our food can get there in 30 minutes. We talked about AI last week. I mean, just this like immediacy, this, I don't have to wait for anything. I don't have to really a lot of times get out of my house to get the things that I want.
Yeah.
Streaming. We talk about this with our kid. I talk about this with my kids a lot. I grew up and I had to watch what was on the TV at that hour. Like I did not have a choice.
No.
Or if my dad was watching TV, the whole house had to watch whatever dad was watching. Yeah. And my kids are like, we'll just go upstairs and we'll watch.
Come on.
We've got a million choices between Disney, Netflix.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah. And so I think some of that plays into this entitlement, this sometimes this parenting of these helicopter or lawnmower parents. I don't know if y'all have heard that term. We're like clearing the field before our kids get there. Can lead into that too of why would I have to work for anything? Nothing's ever been hard in my entire life because my parents made sure that it was easy.
Yeah.
And I do think there's a balance, like you're saying, between their kids.
Right.
Let them be kids. I'm not saying that they have to go work a 9-to-5 job and also do schoolwork on top of that. But there needs to
your
balance.
Point, some of it also isn't like money and responsibilities. Like anytime I go into schools now, it's for teen life or whatever it may be, or with my son's friends, like, look, again, going back to driving, a lot of them don't drive. Like when I was 16, it was like I was driving day one.
Yes.
Because I wanted my own car. I wanted to do my things. And it also meant I had to help my mom and stuff. But like I was like, that wasn't the expectation. I turned 16. I drive my car. My own son didn't start driving till like 4 months into his 16th birthday. Because you don't have to go hang out with your friends in person anymore. You can do it online. You can talk on the phone, FaceTime, whatever. And on top of that, to your point, everything is handed to you. Everything's brought to your door. So it's not even like a sense of entitlement as much as it is like they can just have everything they need without putting in a lot of work. Because it takes a lot of effort and a lot of work to get a driver's license still. And so if anything, it's harder now because you have to go through months of processes and stuff. Like when I, you know, I had a friend that got his permit 2 days before he turned 16 and then got his license 2 days later. So thankfully the states learned like we should put some restrictions in on how.
Give this guy a car.
So these are all good things, but it's just, they don't have to, they have to put in a lot of effort to do certain things. And if they don't have to, they're not going to. And so like it, yes, that is a sense of entitlement, but it also is a sense of comfort as well.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think too, like to Carly's point, I think, in the culture wide of just even with us as adults, it's like, yeah, like if Amazon doesn't get there when it says it is, if I go to Chick-fil-A and I have to wait more than 2 minutes, I'm like, what's going on today? Okay.
Yeah.
Where's my chicken?
Yeah.
And I think just everything is so fast paced and we're used to getting what we want. And so I think the perspective shift is like, instead of seeing it as a teen problem, you can recognize it that it's a human tendency that teens are still learning to manage.
Yeah.
And it's, I think that helps kind of put it into perspective of like, okay, this is the thing everyone goes through, but it still doesn't mean that it's not a problem or thing that the thing that shouldn't be talked about.
That's why I read a book on this probably last spring. And as I was reading, it was about parenting. And I was like, oh, she's stepping on my toes.
Yeah.
Because as I was reading, I'm like, man, I'm entitled. Like there are lots of things that I, as I'm reading through this, need to see. And so like what you're saying, I think if we're viewing entitlement in teenagers as they're failing, they're growing and they're learning. This is something we struggle with as adults. And so they're immature and they're learning these things with all this brain development stuff also going on. So let's come alongside them and be like, hey, let's work on this together because I'm also super frustrated when I don't get my way or when something doesn't happen the way I think it should happen. Or if I forget something, it's easy to look at someone else and be like, you didn't remind me.
Yeah.
And that's just, maybe let's take some responsibility and move on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think as we're talking through some of this stuff, we're talking about teenagers specifically, but I'm also talking about myself.
Sure.
We're talking about adults, that this isn't just a teen problem. Yeah. But when it comes to entitlement in teenagers, it can affect a lot of different things if they have this, especially an extreme sense of entitlement.
Yeah.
I think when you're entitled, maybe you struggle with that empathy part.
Yes.
1,000%.
Yeah. Like I said earlier with the dinner example, I tell my son all the time, I'm like, I don't want to send you to a friend's house if you're going to look at that mom and go, I'm not going to eat that. Gross. Like you're not putting yourself in the shoes of the person who made that. And that's really, it's really hard to connect with others, to keep friends, to do those things when that's your natural tendency.
I remember the first time coming home from college when I first had a house was maybe the first time I ever willingly did dishes at mom and dad's house. Cause it's just like, I don't know. They just always got done. Mm-hmm. Like if I left a cup out, it magically ended up in the dishwasher. I didn't have to move it. And like, you know, I think you don't realize that and put two and two together as a teenager. And it's like the first time I'm in my house and having to clean up after my roommate, and like, it's different. You're on the other side of it. And so I think, you know, experience helps that. But then, yeah, I think it's just kind of this lack of empathy and seeing the other side. But I think too, the other big part of it is kind of like we touched on too, like this lack of taking responsibility for things. And maybe, I don't know if it's a fear of failure of if I actually do this thing on my own, then I have to own up to that. I didn't do it effectively. But if they expect everything to be easy, failure is going to be devastating to them and affect them differently. And so I think, I don't know, that could be another part of this entitlement, how it just affects them for the first time of having to do a thing.
Well, and it is, as a parent, you don't want your kids to struggle, but you also have to make sure you set them up for success. And like, so, you know, me and my wife lovingly battle this a lot, because it's like, whenever I tell my kids to do something, especially my younger ones, I'm like, hey, if you do this, I'll do this for you. And she's like, why? Like, just tell them to do that, because what you're supposed to tell them to do, because that's the house she grew up in. You know? So, and so like, there are times when you have to kind of balance that as well of, you want them to do this because it's the right thing to do. And it creates resiliency, it creates motivation and stuff like that. But at the same time, you don't want your kid to suffer. Like no parent does. And so it's easier for us as parents to make their life easier for ourselves, one, because let's be real, parenting the right way is hard. Like it definitely makes your life harder. And then it's very easy to get lazy. Like, you know what? I don't really want to like deal with you right now. Here's an iPad. Go spend 6 hours on it. You know, and like that's, that kind of stuff happens now. It's a lot easier to distract your children than it used to be. But it's the same thing of like when my son, that was my motivation for my son was, if you want gas money, maybe you should get a job,
right?
Like, or do some stuff around the house to get some extra money, that kind of thing. And so it's kind of, like I said, finding that balance of making them resilient and, but also not letting them fall too far. Like,
right.
Well, know. They're doing it in a way that's safe when they're at school, when they're at home.
Yeah.
If they fail, you're kind of that safety net compared to when they get into the real world.
Yeah.
And life's just not fair.
No.
I mean, it just isn't. Things aren't going to always go your way. And if you, I think this is where kind of a mental health component can even come in. If they are expecting certain things just because, no, that's what's expected, not because I worked for it, then there's just going to be some real disappointment as they get into college and don't get into the sorority that they wanted to, because wait a second, I get whatever I want. Yeah. What are you talking about? And then you're going to lead into anxiety, anger, depression. I think that we have to set them up of like, no, like we have to work for things. And even when you work really hard, and even if you think you did your very best, that still doesn't always mean that you get what you want. And that's just a hard reality. But let's, as you're saying, let's try to teach them when they're here and not like, and you can still be like, you know what, we can still work through this and I can still help you. Hey, school, you're in charge of your own stuff. But when you really mess up and you forgot about a project, maybe there's some grace that can happen at home while I'm there to help you.
And I think too, it's thinking through things, even on your end, maybe as a parent of like, okay, because it's hard for you to even see the things that you're doing for them sometimes. I think like even little things like, you know, if you're waking your student up every morning, I think, you know, in a way that's great. And, it, you know, it's just one small thing, but a small thing of them having to get themselves up every morning and facing the consequences of not getting to school on time if they're driving themselves. you know, are things that you start to learn and take advantage of yourself. And I think, you know, I think my parents did a good job of equipping me well, but there were still things like the first time I had to do taxes as an adult, I missed the deadline. Dad calls me, hey, did you do your taxes? Oh, I forgot. I didn't know
you have to do that.
And so I think, you know, there's small things that whenever you get there, it's I don't know if it's ignorance or entitlement, but it's still things that I think you as a parent and adults can walk with them and, mm-hmm. and kind of help them see, okay, I know it seems like I'm coming down hard on you right now to help pay for your own gas, get a job, but I want you to be able to see what, like the money that I'm giving you to pay for your gas is coming from me working and right. you're going to eventually have to do these things. And I think if you kind of help them see the bigger picture, it might not make them less mad at you, but kind of help them understand where you're coming from.
I think the biggest way to fight entitlement is to encourage a environment of gratitude as well. This is something that I'd read a book a few years ago about forcing children to say thank you is not actually a way to like build gratitude, which is really tough for me because like you said with Sawyer, you want them to go and be like okay, what are you supposed to say? What do you say? You know, I got that all the time. Mm-hmm. But in reality, what that is that's making it a chore instead of just making them realize that, hey, whenever things are done for you, you should have a show of thankfulness. And the way to do that is by modeling.
Yeah.
Right.
And so like, you know, mm-hmm. even though it's like this again where me and my wife differ is that if my kids do something, I'm gonna say, oh, thank you so much for doing this. She's like, why are you saying thank you? Like that's what they're supposed to do. Like, you know, like, yeah. but you have to model like thankfulness and show them like yeah. when they do little things, even if it's dumb, like even if it's, hey, you actually put your dishes up and you put your cup up, Caleb. So I'm going to say, hey, Caleb, thank you for putting your cup up for the first time out of 100 times, whatever it may be, is just showing them that you can be thankful for them. It will also model that, oh, maybe I should be doing that more.
Yeah.
And if you are listening and you're a parent of a growing child, I will tell you it gets better as they get older. Like little kids, their empathy already and there is already low because they're little kids. And so it takes a long time. It's a hard battle to fight. And just letting them have ownership of showing that gratitude is important instead of the, what do you say? And then you get the dismissive thank you as they're walking away kind of thing. That's what you want to try to avoid, which is hard. So,
but I think part of that is exposing them to other experiences, is one of the biggest way that we've done that. When I see my son like light of like, oh, he gets it.
Yeah.
When we are around, whether that is people who are less fortunate than us, people who look different than us, just different things when they're going, oh, this isn't just, everyone doesn't have the same life as us. Yeah. Everyone doesn't have the same things that we have. And so get them into volunteering, figure out how they can help other people, expose them to other cultures. I think there are ways that you can do that. I think the biggest way I think we can maybe help our teens grow in gratitude is give them ownership.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Like you're talking about like, hey, gas money is your deal. How are you going to figure it out?
Right.
And if you, there were days I didn't as much but I know Colby did, would have to be riding to school with mom because he didn't have enough gas money to make it to school that day. Because that was just that's the expectation.
Right.
But give them complete ownership over that. Maybe if you have a teenager that you're like, if you have a Caleb who complains about dinner all the time, maybe say, you know what? This week, you're in charge of dinner. You get to make it. I will give you, here's your budget. You're going to go shopping for it. You're going to plan it. You're going to make it. Because we did that one time with my son and he made something and his sister was like, gross. And oh my goodness, would have thought it wasn't gross. He made taco mac and cheese.
Oh.
Honestly, not as bad as you would think, but I can also see how a 5-year-old would be like, why is there taco seasoning in my mac and cheese? Anyways, but he like, that's the first time that he looked at me and was like, man, that stinks.
Yeah.
That like really stinks.
You put a lot of work into that.
Yep. And I got complaint and I was excited about this. And I was like, totally. So like give them, like think through some ways of like, man, they act entitled in this area. How can I give them ownership so that then they realize, make them pay for their shoes. And then when they lose one, that was your money that you just lost and now you get to pay for it again. I don't know. Like there are just different things that I feel like you can do to help encourage that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, before we close, the tips and takeaways for today are that, you know, not forcing gratitude, but like helping them build genuine appreciation by doing other things, showing them gratitude, which you talked about as well. But then also like do one thing a week that grows their gratitude, whatever it may be. Like, I mean, it could be as simple as like, hey, this week we're going to go volunteer somewhere. We're going to go help this person. We're going to go help a friend do this. And that is one area that I think really shows the most. Like if you are willing to jump to help people, because like in situations that typically shows your children and your teens, especially like how to live their life in a different way. Because teens are so like understandably and but by design, they're very siloed off in every aspect of their world. And then when they are social, it's not centered in this world. And so it's just very easy to kind of get blocked out to what's going on around you.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good episode. Second one of this season. So if you have any questions or you want to add to our stuff for the season, please send any questions you have to social media or at podcast@teenlaugh.ngo. And don't forget to subscribe on YouTube and wherever you listen on podcasts. And we'll see you next week.